And it's 12:05 Central Time. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. Yes, this is Wednesday, October 20th. For those of you keeping track, just so you don't get lost in the calendar elsewhere, it's always nice to know that we have a wonderful production staff here that provides us with guests like the person we're going to be talking to in just a minute. There is so much controversy right now involving the jab, and a lot of people are very upset because of the fact that they've been hoodwinked and misled only to find out after they've taken the jab that they are the research. And so we've invited Dr. John West, who's vice president and senior fellow at the Discovery Institute, onto the Power Hour to talk about the NIH, the CDC. Francis Collins isn't a national treasure. He's a national disgrace, according to the topic matter I'm looking at. Is that right, Dr. West?
I did write that, and I will defend it. I think the evidence and the record actually shows it.
It's never ceases to amaze me how much we have, and this is one of the reasons why, when I look at all these narratives, Dr. West, on my cloudedtitlesblog.wordpress.com website, I have a thing that says, if you have, quote, trust issues, unquote, you're not alone. And so I present all of these narratives, and a lot of them came right out of Francis Collins' mouth, in addition to his subordinate, Dr. Anthony Mengele, of the Fauci.
I'm not going to personally attack Francis Collins. He's a well-known person of faith and maybe a very nice individual, but I think his record is fair game. And both on his support of vaccine mandates and really demonizing all of the unvaccinated he was on MSNBC just a few weeks ago. It basically said that you're not loving your neighbor if you're not getting vaccinated. In fact, you shouldn't just be thinking of yourself. So he's branding all unvaccinated and people who choose not to be vaccinated as being selfish. And then he went on to say that they're responsible for deaths of thousands of people, including children. And then he also included in that anyone who was against vaccine mandates. And I just think this is over-the-top demonization of people who have... Some of them may have foolish reasons, others have serious reasons, and in any case, they shouldn't be demonized for their health care choices. Post-World War II, we had a really strong standard that used to be bipartisan, which is called informed consent. And that means not only that you get informed, but that you have to consent. And so, now, yes, there may be some emergencies that are so absolutely bad that they have to overcome that. I don't think they've met their burden of proof here. And then with regard to people being selfish or killing others, this is just, even based on mainstream scientific evidence, this is just poppycock. So, for example, the CDC itself says 119 million Americans have had and survived COVID. So many of the people who are vaccine hesitant or choose not to have the vaccine are in that group. If you're in that group, you have better immunities than the people who just have the vaccine. You're not going to be filling up the hospitals. You're not hurting anyone else. No, Francis Collins, you're not being selfish if you've already had the vaccine and choose, already had the disease and choose not to be vaccinated. You're not unloving. You're not killing others. And this is just straight out demonization. And there are lots of other cases like that. If you're a parent of a teenage young man, you may be concerned based on mainstream evidence that people have been raising about the heart problems associated with after getting the vaccine, particularly for young males under 30 and especially in their teenage years, that are so significant that several European countries now have placed a pause on at least one of the vaccines. So if you are choosing with your son, say your 15-year-old son, not to have him vaccinated and he agrees with that, are you being selfish or are you being loving? And so I just, this demonization of individuals who have different situations than you may have or I may have, I think is wrong. And the last time we really did this as a culture and as a world at such widespread level was in the early 1900s with something called the eugenics movement, where whole classes of people were defined as biologically unfit. Therefore, we should compulsorily sterilize them against their will. And actually, in Germany, they did more than that. They actually killed them. But they didn't do that in the United States. But this is I think, morally wrong to demonize people. And I want to be clear. I'm not actually anti-vaccination. I think that for many people, depending on their risk profile and other things, that the COVID vaccines, as experimental as they are, I think do help in reduce things. And so I'm not against that. I'm manifestly against mandating it and having people lose their jobs right now. Thousands of people are losing their jobs. That's not very loving, Francis Collins. People are losing their medical care. People are being denied unemployment insurance benefits that they paid into for years.
All because they wouldn't take the vaccine. Did you write about this in your Darwin Day in America book?
I didn't write about vaccines. I wrote about some other things, including some of Francis Collins' less than stellar record on human research. I mean, one of his first, this is sort of a pattern with him, to not be so concerned about the rights of others and also just the research rights of others. There was a case that both left and right brought out early in his first year as NIH head, which involved experiments on primarily minority premature babies. And the reason why they were experimenting on them, there was a valid reason. They were trying to learn what's the best oxygen level for premature babies. The problem is how they went about it was they basically changed the oxygen meter so that the nurses and doctors, when they thought they were adding more oxygen because the kid needed it, in their view, they actually weren't adding the amount that they thought, and similarly decreasing. So they were basically, the researchers were having their own ideas on things, and they were basically taking that away from the doctors and nurses, and they didn't tell the parents who enrolled their kids in it that that's what was happening. And Francis Collins defended that research. He wasn't the one who authorized it. It was actually in the Bush administration, but the scandal came out when he was NIH director, and there was a very good government report chastising them and saying, this is unacceptable. Francis Collins co-wrote a piece for the Journal of the American Medical Association defending it and claiming that everything was okay and basically trying to subvert efforts to hold the researchers accountable for this egregious break in human ethics, medical ethics applied to human research.
Well, I mean, we're talking about the Nuremberg Code here. Seriously? I mean, why all of a sudden, you know, we have 53 people that died of the flu, so what do? They cancel the flu vaccine. Here we have what people are now saying is over 200,000 deaths caused by the jab, and they have not discontinued it. As you say, other countries have all of a sudden woken up to this. Israel, with the most vaccinated population in the world, all their studies are now showing that 95% of their population has been vaccinated, and a majority of them are coming down with COVID. Well, you know, I had an African-American buddy tell me all about that. You know, he says, hey, what do you think they put in that COVID vaccine? I said, good point.
Yeah. I have not seen solid evidence it was just 200,000 people who died. But what I would say is that, you know, the government has its vaccine adverse event reporting system, which is not perfect, but it's been there for 30 years. And it's looked at all sorts of vaccines, and most vaccines are overwhelmingly safe. There are some exceptions. But in the 30 years, it should concern people that in less than a year, that system has been swamped with more deaths, more adverse events, more hospitalizations than for any other group of vaccines. And so much so that in that system, it's about 25,000-26,000 total deaths over 30 years of all vaccines that have been associated with the vaccine. And now about 16,000 of them, basically 60% plus, have come from the COVID vaccines. That should concern people. That is another thing that Francis Collins won't talk about. Even to United States Senator Ron Johnson has actually tried to get to the bottom of some of this, but as, you know, he's in the minority now, and so Francis Collins doesn't really have to answer him. But he wrote a letter this summer pointing out that earlier this year, when it became clear that in the vaccine adverse event reporting system, something was off. This was the level of reports was like nothing we'd ever seen in any other vaccine. And he pressed Collins in a meeting for answers on it, and Collins just basically blew him off. And then he wrote a letter this summer saying, you know, you blew me off, but now it's, in essence, even worse, you know, you need some explanation for this. And so the number one thing, if Francis Collins or other government officials, Fauci, you name it, are really serious about dealing with the serious concerns that people have for vaccine hesitancy, they should be dealing with the VAERS data and not going on. You know, I saw some months ago, Collins was on a podcast where he was saying, "Oh, ha ha ha! I know some people think we're implanting a brain chip through this, you know, because that's what Bill Gates wants." I can assure you, we're not doing that in the vaccine. Ha ha ha! Well, give me a break. Something like that, that, you know, a claim on the fringe, that is not dealing with the actual serious, thoughtful concerns that people have. And that's really another problem.
Well, they say things that puts the whole situation in a negative perspective to start with, when they don't give us all the facts, Dr. West. I mean, there are now people, especially the frontline doctors, that are looking into the Medicare listed fatalities and in their databases and finding out that the numbers are huge and the government is basically not telling people. They're scaring them away from gene therapy. I don't consider this stuff a vaccine at all. I think that the word vaccine has been misapplied.
Yeah, the Medicare system is interesting. The reason why I don't go with that, and I'm not questioning their honesty, but because it's based on what they say as a whistleblower, it's still kind of private, and it's like, well, how do I even verify that? I will say that something that can be verified is from the same Medicare system, but does show, and this was, you probably know about this because you follow all this, but just within the past 2 weeks, there was this Defense Department commission study using the Medicare system. So it studied 5.6 million people in Medicare, 65 and above, and it was studying breakthrough vaccine, you know, breakthrough cases, which gets to the effectiveness of the vaccine against the Delta variant. And these figures from this study that was government commissioned, this is mainstream, and so this is not, you know, you don't have to say it's a whistleblower that we can't name. This is now out there. You can actually read the PowerPoint presentation. Their study of those 5.6 million people in Medicare showed that for the Delta variant, basically 70% of the new infections, 70% of the new Delta variant ones are coming from fully vaccinated people, and 60% of the hospitalizations. Now, that's in this particular group, 65 and over. I haven't seen data from the states that are that big. So I live in Washington State. In King County, the figures now for fully vaccinated COVID breakthroughs are like 30 to 35%, and then deaths are, I think, around 28-30%. That's way more than
1%. That's pretty scary, Dr. John.
But if you look at Israel and the other places, the trajectory with the Delta variant and the vaccine losing effectiveness after a few months does seem to be increasing. We should expect increasing numbers of people hospitalized and deaths who are fully vaccinated. I don't think that's fully hit here, but it is hard to get the good data. Like, again, in Washington State, you can get some of the data for King County. The actual Washington State officials, they aggregate all the hospitalizations and things from February to August, so you can't actually see where the trend line has shifted, which was in the summer when the Delta variant hit, you began to see much less effectiveness. And so they do make it hard to actually get the, you know, the public health authorities massage the data, and you often can't get the underlying data very easily.
Well, do you think, Dr. West, that they are massaging the data to avoid future panic and more rejection of the vaccine, or the shot, as I call it, the jab? In Ireland, you don't say shot, because that is a totally different meaning. It's called the jab over there. And a lot of people are dying of this stuff. I mean, we've lost a BBC reporter. She got it, and 7 days later, they were literally took her skull cap off to relieve the pressure in her brain, and she ended up dying anyway.
Yeah, I mean, the as to why they're being less than transparent, I mean, I'm not in their heart, but I do think it is, it would seem to be that they're massaging the data because they want to emphasize certain talking points, and they certainly aren't providing some of the raw data that would allow independent observers to come to potentially different conclusions. And I think that is, that's really a scandal and shouldn't be allowed. The data collected by public health authorities should be public data, and they shouldn't be allowed to just massage and give it out in little predetermined drips that they massage to get the points that they want.
Unless they have another agenda that they happen to be following, they're not telling us about. Have you ever entertained that thought?
Yeah, I'm not a big one into sort of conspiracy theories or private things. I think here for myself is that the public health establishment placed a lot of their trust in, they thought it was going to be the silver bullet of this vaccine. And then when it turned out not to be as effective as they thought, and when they began to see what was happening in Israel, where, you know, they had higher rates than we did in the United States, and it was in a population that was vaxxed to the max, and now they're on their third and fourth jabs, so to speak. And if you're here in the United States looking at that and saying, oops, this doesn't seem to work, what do we do? Well, so what can they do? Well, we can demonize the unvaccinated, as it's all their fault, and we can say, without any real safety studies, you just need to get more and more jabs.
Give them another booster.
They were compressed, So I think it may be sort of desperation. You know, these people want, I don't think they have ill will. They want to save people. They think they're doing the best they can, but they get in this groupthink. And then when it turns out that the data shows that they may have been wrong, they double down. This is a very common thing among academics, especially, and among elites, is that if you turn out that the data doesn't really support what you're saying, you double down rather than admitting because you don't want to lose face. So I think they're perfectly ordinary human explanations. The bottom line is the same, though, is that some of our policies are not really based on the best science, and that they're, in the case of like demonizing the unvaccinated without differentiating between people who've already had the disease, people who are at high risk from vaccine adverse events, and others, or people who are, we all know, the people, if you're likely, even the CDC and the NIH have said that there are basically four conditions that make it highly likely or much more likely that you'll end up in the hospital. If you don't have those four conditions, which include things like high blood pressure or morbidly obese, and you're in good health, and especially if you're under 65, you're not likely going to fill the hospitals. You're not, and so this just blanket, and then really the people who are most likely are probably the most fragile, and if they haven't had the vaccine, there may be some good reasons for that. And again, this demonizing of people for their personal choices that have very sincere, and I'd say in at least some of the cases, very evidence-based for their own particular situation, I think is wrong. And why would Americans, people need to think about this. This also, they don't realize we have never done anything like this. Yes, there have been vaccine mandates to a degree for going to public schools and some other things, but wholesale vaccine mandates from the top down, from the government, from big companies, on that, that you'll lose your job, you'll be denied unemployment insurance, you'll get kicked off of organ donor lists and stuff. We have never seen anything like this in our history.
Well, you're in Seattle. Really, you're in a hotbed, aren't you?
Yeah.
Look at all the people that are quitting. I mean, they're going to lose thousands of police officers and healthcare workers and stuff. And people are just, it's a mess up there. And their mayor went on TV last night, basically saying, well, we don't want to send first responders out, because if we do that, they have to be vaccinated because we don't. Well, what happened to these people when they were on the front line and there was no vaccine and they were exposing themselves to all this risk? And it's like, okay, come on, folks, there's something wrong with the narrative. And, now it's become the party line. It's not the narrative anymore. It's been turned into a political mess. And so I know that a lot of you out there that are listening to this show right now with Dr. John West, who's with me, he has authored what looks like a compendium of amazing books. The Magician's Twins, C.S. Lewis on Science, Scientism, and Society, Walt Disney in Live Action, The Politics of Revelation and Reason, Religion and Civic Life in the New Nation. I mean, those are just a few. It is amazing. When you talk about Darwinism, it's like, okay, everybody out of the gene pool. A lot of these people that have made these moronic decisions, not doing their research, and this is what we don't want people to do. We do want to know what you're thinking, folks. We have a toll-free number, 844-769-2944. Now, we have somebody here that has done an extraordinary amount of research. He is a PhD, obviously. You are a doctor, right?
not a medical doctor.
Not a medical doctor, but a PhD.
So policy analyst. So And when it comes to science and public policy, that is
correct.
One of my key areas of research. So.
Right, and the public policy is good, and it's a good thing to have that kind of input. And you know, people, we tell you to do your research for a reason. If you've got commentary on this, if you've lost somebody to COVID that got vaccinated, if you've got a demonization story. Up close and personal, you want to talk about 844-769-2944 is the number to call. And we are going to be coming up to a break here, and then we're going to be on the backside of the hour with Dr. John West. He's vice president and senior fellow of the Seattle-based Discovery Institute, where there is a hotbed of activity going on right now. And Chicago is the same way, isn't it, Dr. West?
Many of our major cities, L.A., other sorts of really cruel mandates that are being imposed, and then people who are beginning to object, which I think is healthy.
Well, it is, and it's important for people. It's like I said yesterday on the program, you have to adapt that old slogan from the Reagan years, just say no. That generally works.
And also,
now people have to say, what do you mean no? Why are you demonizing me? Why are you sitting there? I have friends of mine who literally their entire family is vaccinated except for them. And what's the rest of the family doing? Demonizing him. So it's actually splitting families apart, too, which is a really sad thing. Some people won't even let their unvaccinated uncle go visit their kid. You know, because you're not vaccinated, you can't come around our child. It's like you have more of a propensity if you're vaccinated to, you know, spin off and shed the virus. Have you found that to be the case in your research?
Well, I think two things. Again, I actually do think that the vaccines do have reduced the numbers of people who get it. If you get it, though, if you're vaccinated, and the increasing number of vaccinated are, then your viral load can certainly be considerable, and you can shed it. But I, for myself, I think the evidence does substantiate, especially in the early months, for that you are less likely to get COVID. Now, again, I just ran numbers from Washington State. Well, you have a break, but
We got a break coming up right now, Dr. West. If you hold that thought for a minute, write it down. I want to come back to it. This is the Power Hour. Dave Prieger with you. We're going to be back after the break. Stay with us.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiatics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with olive oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that olive oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall.
When talking of great immune support, a line of products comes to my mind. That's North American Herb and Spice. We carry the Rest Vital Calf, Sinew Orega, Oreganol Juice, Pure Lisi, Chagamax, Collagen Power Plus, Orega Rest, Super Strength Oregano Oil, Black Seed, and many more. Support small businesses when you buy from the good guys. Go to thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829. Hi, this is Jay with the Power Mall. Stock up now on your winter wellness essentials from OptiVita Health with our buy two, get one 50% off sale. Save on OptiVita Silver Liquid, Silver Gel, Silver Lozenges, Vitamin C, Vitamin D, Super Krill Oil, and don't forget your Silver Spray Accessory Kit. Shop the sale until October 31st. To order, visit thepowermall.com. Or call 877-817-9829.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita Silver Lozenges. Of course, then the Orega Resp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
And welcome to the last half hour of our broadcast here on the Power Hour. We're live Wednesday, October 20th, 2021. Dave Krieger with you, and we are joined by Dr. John West. We were at the last half hour talking about kind of an overview of the faux pas and various idiosyncratic issues that have been uncovered and researched by people who don't always agree with what NIH and CDC and others are saying. And Dr. West is obviously, being a VP and senior fellow at Seattle-based Discovery Institute, has done an extensive amount of research into that area as well. And we do had asked for callers, 844-769-2944, and we have Bill on the line in Arizona. Bill, do you have a question for Dr. West?
Well, yes, I do, actually, but it can go to you just as well if you have an answer for it, of course.
We'll try.
The CDC has been widely quoted to the fact that the SARS-CoV-2 virus has never been, quote, isolated, unquote. And now, you know, you have to, they've never bothered to define what they mean by isolated. But large numbers of people that have PhDs in virology and epidemiology and other things have opined that what that means is that they've never found a SARS-CoV-2 virus, that they can confirm that it's a specific virus as opposed to the soup that you get when you go into a PCR environment. And my curiosity is okay, well, if we've never found a SARS-CoV-2 virus, how do we know there is a Delta variant? How do we know that Delta variant isn't just like everything else, and it's whatever we got, you know, because flu is a routine thing in this country, has been for decades and decades and decades and decades. And the bottom line is every year we get a flu vaccine that's quadrivalent, that's made from one of the 250 flu virus is that they think it might be. So, okay, why are the odds out of 4 out of 250 being accurate in any given flu year? I think, you know, when people start talking about this idea that, well, is a virus imaginary? I think from the standpoint of whether or not there's a SARS-CoV-2, since it hasn't been isolated, it may very well be imaginary. And that's exactly the kind of thing that Dr. David Martin has suggested, is that the whole thing is nothing but a computer-generated genome that was made up and handed to Moderna so that they could make this, quote, virus, unquote, that they're killing people with now.
Right. Okay, Bill, let me pitch that over to Dr. West. Dr. West, do you agree with what Bill just said?
No, I actually don't, but I'm not really qualified. I'm not a medical doctor, and so I'm not qualified to say. I find it just myself hard to believe that this isn't a real virus, and that would require so this massive conspiracy all across the world. I don't accept that. Now, for me, I think the serious issues are, you know, should people get be mandated and compelled to have these, as you're right, they're largely experimental vaccines, and where the safety profile is not great, and or should that be a personal choice? And that's where I think that's my point, and not that COVID isn't real.
Do you believe?
I believe that COVID is a real COVID 19 is a real.
Do you
disease
believe the virus numbers?
Right. Okay. All right, Daniel.
I do think the various numbers are yes. I take seriously the various numbers. Yes, the government is right. Not everything is validated in that, but to me, that's not the issue. We've had various for 30 years, and so there's something is out of kilter when you have every other vaccine in the system far safer, and then suddenly in less than 1 year you're overrun with adverse events just for one particular group of vaccines. And so even if, you know, it, again, it's not a perfect system, but if you're comparing apples to apples over 30 years, something needs to account for that dramatic difference. And if anything, based on the information we have before, is that VAERS does not overstate things. There's some evidence historically to think that it understates things, which is actually, I would agree with you, Dave, that it would be really important to get, say, for example, the access to the Medicare tracking system and what adverse events and other things that it records, because that would be another way of either cross-validating theirs or seeing just how much isn't in theirs. But, you know, ordinary people aren't allowed that access, which I think is lack of transparency and really bad.
Well, and see, the thing is that gets me, Dr. West, is the lack of transparency, and I'm sure Bill will agree with this, the lack of transparency is what's caused a lot of people to not trust the system. And the more that they try to cloud the information and the more people start waking up, I mean, everybody's got a reason why they don't want to take it, even if it means losing their job, the frontline medical workers, I mean, that should have been a clue to a lot of people out there, when the frontline medical workers started saying, I'm not taking that stuff. You know, they've already seen the end result of it. They know people. I've got friends of mine that are firefighters in Orange County, Florida right now, and they know two of their friends have died right after getting the jab. Yeah. So there's a lot of people out there that are going to take argument with the fact that they're hiding all this information to try to lull us into another false sense of security.
I agree. So, I know people who've died of COVID. I know people who've been seriously injured right after the vaccine. And so I do think it, so those are serious issues that need to be dealt with. And that's why I think it really does need to be a personal choice. Again, depending on your, if you have a lot of pre-existing conditions and you're over 65, it may be the case, even looking at theirs, although it would be helpful to look at the Medicare stuff, it may be the case that the most reasonable choice for you to make is to get one of the vaccines, depending on your other risk factors. But that's your choice. And as you point out, because we don't have perfect data, and the data from the Medicare system, which would be the most important if you're 65 and older with other pre-existing conditions, we don't have access to. So, if again, I think this is a reasonable choice that people should make, and they shouldn't be demonized for it, which is, and our government is demonizing them. And what really concerns me is you have pastors, other leading figures in the faith community who seem to be going along with this demonization, which I just, as a, I just think morally is really abhorrent.
Yeah, bankrupt, in other words. Daniel in New Jersey, thanks for calling the Power Hour. What can we do for you?
Hi, guys. As a senior citizen, vaccine refusenik, I'd just like to add to the discussion that I am unable to get a routine senior citizen colonoscopy cancer screening. So if they don't get us one way, they'll get us old guys one and another.
Now, is that because they're refusing you because you aren't vaccinated?
No, they'll do that, but I have to take multiple PCR swab and the nose test. That's what I'm refusing.
No. Okay. Yeah.
That's one of those conditions out there, Dr. West, that we have heard constantly in multiple cities where people who are refusing to have any of the diagnosis treatments, you know, the PCR tests have already been announced to not be effective, and he doesn't want to take them. He doesn't want antifreeze shoved up his nasal cavity and invading his nasopharynx with carcinogenic material. I mean, I understand where he's coming from, given what we know about what was discussed in the materials in that PCR test.
I've had a PCR test, so I understand.
Go ahead, Daniel.
Go ahead.
Are you still there?
We are. Yes. We're waiting for you to comment.
Oh, okay. It's more than just the propylene oxide and other things. I'm worried about the graphene oxide spikes that others have reported seeing in optical and electron microscopy on these swabs. And there's the old report from a year ago where in Tanzania, the president of one of the African countries, a PhD biologist, after seeing all the people testing positive but not seeing the cases in a hospital, tested a papaya, a banana, a goat, the motor block of a car, and they came back 100% positive. So they kicked the World Health Organization out, and 4 weeks later she was assassinated.
Amazing
how
that works.
There's also the rumor that when you go for a PCR test, they'll run 30 replications if you've been vaccinated, which guarantees a 100% negative result, and they'll run 40 replications if you've not been vaccinated, which guarantees a 100% positive result. It's diabolical.
I do think there is, as the more breakthrough infections there are of people who are completely vaccinated, the case for only requiring vaccinated people, unvaccinated people to have these tests in an onerous way is sort of breaking down. Because if it's true that of people over 65, according to the Defense Department study, that 70% of the cases now are in that group are of the Delta variant, at least, are fully vaccinated, then, I mean, if this is really so concerning, then you probably need to require this for everyone, which I'm not advocating, by the way, but I'm just saying that the standards are not all that tethered to the actual evidence.
Okay, thank you for your call, Daniel. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right, so the bigger problems, and our phone line is still open. We can still take more calls. We are live here at 12:45 Central Time. That is the time that we're broadcasting live, 844-769-2944. If you want to get a word in edgewise with Dr. John West, he is here with us in studio. And it sounds, much like the fact that they're, again, we're back to trust issues. We're back to what people are hearing, how they're disseminating it, where they're getting their information from, which is why when people call up on the show, I want them to have the data. These guys that have called in here, Bill from Arizona and Daniel from New Jersey, obviously have done, you can tell by the tone of their voice, Dr. West, that they've done a modicum of research and they understand this. And, of course, David Martin, who I have personally interviewed before on another program, actually came out with all of the patented material. And my co-host, who is a retired attorney and a former law clerk for U.S. District Court judge, read through all the patent material and his hair stood up in the back of his neck. He says, I could not believe what they were doing. And see, have you delved much into Echo Health Alliance and the genomic research? Have you delved much into that?
No, that's not really an area of my research, which, again, I'm not shocked by almost anything that happens in politics. If you take a long view, I'm a former political science professor. If you take a long view of the last couple hundred years, people would be surprised what happened in politics. And, you know, there are a lot of bad actors out there, and people do things against the common good and stuff. But again, for me, I just think right now, real people are being hurt. Thousands of workers are losing their jobs, and they're not getting unemployment benefits. They're being driven to the ground. Perfectly healthy people, and, you know, many of them already have had the disease. That's one reason they don't want to get it. And so there's no scientific justification for many of those people to have to get it. And we're demonizing them in a way that I used to think, you know, America wouldn't do something like that. And then in less than a year, we've sort of flipped, and many people aren't really asking the appropriate questions about, you know, why are we doing it? What is the actual justification for this? And, you know,
Oh, well, Dr. West, you can't ask questions. If you did that, yeah, you'd be labeled a domestic terrorist.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is what they're doing now. Yeah. This is part of the dehumanization effort that you write about in your books. I mean, this is the thing that this has all been politicized. The vax is now, the jab has been politicized. Would you agree with that?
Definitely. Unquestionably, it's been politicized. And so it's become an ideology untethered to the actual cases. So, for example, while we were talking, I looked up the new update in where I live, which is in the Seattle area. King County is the most populous county in Washington State, so that's the population center. I've been following because they actually do report at least breakthrough cases in fully vaccinated. They don't tell you which were partly vaccinated, which I think so they understate. But I've been following it, and as of May or June, suddenly there was a shift that suddenly up to like 30 to 35% of new cases were in breakthroughs. Well, now I didn't realize as of early October, for the last 2 or 3 weeks, breakthrough cases, you know, the people are fully vaccinated. The proportion of people getting COVID in the Seattle area, the greater Seattle area, has been running 37 to 38%. I mean, we're now approaching 40% for several weeks of all new cases. This is according to the public health authority. This is not, you know, some secret knowledge. You can actually go and look at it. And
And these are all vaccinated people?
Those are all vaccinated people. 40%, 37 to 38% of all new infections with COVID, according to the public health department in King County, Washington, which includes Seattle, since early October have been, you know, hovering around 37-38%, almost 40% now for a few weeks. And, you know, before, earlier in the year, it was like maybe 5-7%. And then in June, it started to shift. And then for a couple months, it was like one third. Now in October, it's close to 40%.
And so you look for those figures to go up?
Based off of what happened in the UK and in Israel, yes.
Well, see, really, and I know you've looked at their numbers, Dr. West. I know you have. Yeah. Chad in North Carolina, we seem to have the smartest people calling into the show. Chad, how you doing? Welcome to the Power Hour.
Well, thank you. You're too kind. I just wanted to throw in my two cents that the last caller was mentioning with the, I've heard and read a lot of articles and heard people on radio talking about that they had requested information of proof, you know, of that they isolated COVID-19 and nobody would produce it. One of the people was from a website called Everyday Concerned. Her name's Romola D. I don't know a whole lot about her, but she's been talking about how she requested information on that. And I just to throw out there, how many of these people do you think in the early stages simply got sick because they were wearing masks? Because my understanding is this stuff can cause you to get bacterial pneumonia.
I'm not qualified to say that, but I do say that's not a particular area of research of mine. Again, I'm not a medical doctor. Having said that, I have reviewed enough of studies and things that I do think there are some serious issues about. Let's put it this way. Putting a mask on and recirculating air and you know, growing biological organisms and things in that moist environment, certainly could. I mean, it seems to be reasonable that that could create additional, you know, problems. And this is actually one of the things that gets to why people legitimately have issues and they don't trust what the public health authorities are saying. Because everyone remembers, or anyone who has a memory remembers, that for about 2 months you had everyone from the Surgeon General down saying, don't wear masks, don't wear masks, they're even unsafe. I believe the Surgeon General made that point. And then within a couple months, without any new evidence, they just flipped and said the exact opposite. And people experienced whiplash, deservedly so, and wondered, well, you know, if they could say, be so dogmatic, you know, for 2 months and then so dogmatic without really any new evidence after that, what do we believe? And I think that the real thing that public health authorities and the scientific authorities aren't facing, they're crying about and attacking ordinary people for why don't you trust us, and they're trying to demonize ordinary people who don't really trust the scientific establishment, when they should be looking in the mirror. Because I'd say one of the primary reasons people are now, many people are skeptical of particularly government scientists and claims made by them, is because of their track record, their lack of transparency on everything from we don't do gain-of-function research in China, which we now know was not true, to, you know, well, wear masks. You can't wear masks because it's going to harm you. And then, well, you have to wear masks or it's going to harm you, and without any underlying data difference. So I think your point is really well taken. I know there was a study down in Florida that actually showed with school kids that showed a lot of really nasty stuff ends up growing in those.
Yeah, that was in Alachua County, by the way, Dr. West, and there were 13 different bacterium and viruses inside of those masks.
Yeah.
So I do recall reading that report. Chad, anything else on your mind?
Well, I'll just mention that I had talked to another one of your Power Hour guests in the past, Glenn Parnum, and he forwarded me the video of what some of these people found in those blue masks under the microscope, and they were finding those little nano worms that moved around when you breathed on them. I just couldn't believe it. I was like, this has got to be like something from another world or something going on here, because I just can't believe our authorities really think we're going to just believe what they're saying. And apparently a lot of people do, because I still go around town. We have no mask mandate right now, for now. And I would say a better part of the people I see going in the stores are still wearing masks. And it's just sad to me that people are doing that.
It is. It is. I mean, I see people driving with masks on, and, you know, to me, I look and I'm going, okay, another COVIDiot. That's my new term for people that drive around in closed spaces with their mask on, just increasing the chances of them getting hypoxia, and you wonder why they have auto accidents.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I'm in favor, if people want to wear masks, they should have the right to wear masks, but I agree that it is the evidence about whether they help or not or hurt is, I mean, masks are one of those things, again, sort of this icon of sort of virtue signaling, and it, people shouldn't be demonized for not wanting to wear masks. So
I think that's calmed down a little bit in some states, but not so much in others. You know, we get back to the old Dr. Seuss, one state, two state, red state, blue state, which, you know, goes right back to the politicizing of everything. And this is one of the reasons why we have guests like Dr. John West on here. Chad, by the way, thanks for your call and your comments.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet. And thanks for calling back in here to the Power Hour. Folks, understand that, you know, we want you to do your homework before you undertake such a decision as to have them inject an experimental genetic therapy drug into your system. I've interviewed enough scientists, talked to enough people, most of America's frontline doctors, the people that I have come in contact with and seen commentary from. There's a lot of belief out there that there is something sinister and nefarious going on. And it all started, Dr. West, in my book, when about a year ago, my attorney friend and I ascertained the fact that this stuff did actually come from Wuhan, and the United States government had a hand in creating it.
Yeah, again, I'm not. For me, I think the jury is still out on where it actually came from. But let's put it this way: Anthony Fauci and Francis Collins, for more than a year, denied that we funded anything like gain of function research in Wuhan, China, and that turned out not to be true. And why did they say that? I think they said that because they didn't want an investigation. And so a real investigation, not a paper over investigation. And I think that that is all the more pressing. But it's sad that they spent a year and a half basically pushing against a real investigation by denying that we had any role in funding gain of function research in Wuhan.
Yeah, I'm still beside myself after realizing this a couple of years ago. Here's one other parting thought. Jean-Luc Montagnier, who won the Nobel Prize for Science, he figured out that the other 4% of this jab that's out there now contains HIV, which is a recombinant immunovirus. I think Dr. Robert Strecker back in the 70s discovered there were about 65 trillion different strains that this thing could mutate into. Some passing food for thought out there, folks, for people that are doing your homework and your research out there. Dr. West, I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the Power Hour today, and we look forward to talking to you again. Thanks so much.
Dave, thanks for having us. It was an enjoyable time.
Thank you, sir. All right, there you go, folks. Dr. John West. And, of course, you can hear these programs. They do come to you archived right here on thepowerhour.com. And so, if you've missed it or your friends missed it, just tell them, dial in right there, thepowerhour.com. We appreciate your support on the Power Mall. Dave Krieger will join you again tomorrow for another great episode. Stay with us and have fun. Stay safe. God bless America.
Heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.